It's time for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, ready to report the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. On today's show, we hear from American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval. He was in Indiana this week. He says there's renewed optimism about getting a farm bill done in 2024. C.J. Miller reports on the efforts to preserve Indiana's historic wooden barns around the state and the expansion of a conservation program in Indiana. Sabrina Halverson joins us today as well. Grain market analysis is on the way, but let's begin with the weather. It's been dry, and that's meant a good start to harvest for many around the state, but let's be honest, our corn and beans could use a bit of a drink at this point. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has some good news for the weekend in our Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast.
Right away on Sunday, clouds will start to increase because we're finally going to bring an end to this dry pattern that we seem to have been in for quite a while.
Martin's watching a massive weather system to our west, building in the Great Plains.
That's going to start to push moisture into Indiana, the western part, right away Sunday morning, and then spreading across the rest of the state through Sunday midday and afternoon. It's likely going to focus more on the north than the south, but I'm not going to rule it out anywhere. Rain continues Monday before the final front of boundary comes through Monday night into early Tuesday. Right now I'm looking at combined rain totals for this system anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches, well, 2 inches in spots potentially, with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. The heavier rains more likely in the north than the south, but again, we don't want to split hairs too much.
After the front comes through Monday night, Martin says we're going to dry down rapidly with sunshine coming back quickly on Tuesday and low humidity values next week.
Even if you get the upper end of the rain range on the soil conditions that we have right now, it's going to soak in very, very quickly. So I think we get back to harvest quickly, and we have several wide open days for harvest. Maybe the best thing about this rain is it might allow crops to pick up a little moisture. We're harvesting at a very, very, very low moisture rate, especially on soybeans as of right now, and these rains may help with that.
If you're looking for more forecast details, and come on, let's be honest, you're looking for more forecast details. Martin goes into great detail in his Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast at HoosierAgToday.com and also in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. You can also just keep it tuned in right here. Martin has his Indiana Farm forecast coming up in just a little while. The number of legislative working days for this Congress is dwindling, but there's at least one man who isn't giving up hope on getting a farm bill across the finish line this year.
We need to put that pressure on. We need to tell them we need a farm bill now. It needs to happen in 24, not 25.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval, who was in Northern Indiana Tuesday touring ag facilities with Indiana Farm Bureau leadership. He says the grassroots efforts of Farm Bureau members have made a difference in D.C., and the pressure to get a farm bill done is mounting.
I've had the opportunity to visit with the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Ms. Stabenow, and told her that, you know, we needed a farm bill today, and we need it now. It needs to happen this year. And I could tell that she's feeling the pressure. So if you're out there and you've been helping us, don't let up now. We need to continue to do that.
Duval says that in the last 10 days, the four corners of agriculture, meaning the chairs of the House and Senate Ag Committees and the ranking members, have been communicating about a way forward for the farm bill in this upcoming lame duck session.
That is new news, and I'm encouraged. So continue to put the pressure on. Don't let them back off. Let them continue to work and try to get some legislative text out of the Senate, which we haven't gotten yet, and be able to have something to go to conference with.
Duval mentions the Senate there, but encourages you to not let the House off the hook either. They've put their version of the farm bill through the committee, but not the full House. He's asking everyone to contact their members of Congress to put the pressure on and get this farm bill done.
Every American benefits from a good, sound farm bill, whether it be help get a farmer through to the next year or whether it be through the nutrition program, which is 85% of the expenditures in the Farm Bill goes to nutrition programs that feeds children and families that are in need. And what American would be against that?
It was a very interesting conversation I was able to have with Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval Tuesday night in Indiana. We have more coming up from that conversation a little bit later on in the show. You might be listening to today's show online at HoosierAgToday.com. You might be listening on your phone on our mobile app. You might be listening on your FM radio dial, but you might also be listening today on AM radio. And efforts to keep AM radio in the dashboards of U.S. vehicles have taken a step forward in the House of Representatives. The House Energy and Commerce Committee voted 45-2 to send the proposed AM radio for every vehicle act to the full House for a vote. If passed by the full House, the proposed act would require the Secretary of Transportation to issue a rule requiring access to AM broadcast stations in motor vehicles. If they don't, automakers would get fined. You're wondering, why would this really matter? Well, the role of AM during natural disasters was cited by several lawmakers as they spoke during the bill's markup, noting that the Federal Emergency Management Agency spent millions solidifying the emergency alert system with AM radio as the backbone of the EAS. Now, in addition to serving as the backbone of the emergency alert system, AM radio does still remain a critical tool in delivering farm news and information to farmers across rural America. And I'll remind folks that, you know, if AM radio gets removed from vehicles, it wouldn't be long before vehicle manufacturers start to remove FM radio, or at least attempt to charge consumers for it. So we here at Hoosier Ag Today support free over-the-air radio for all consumers, especially our farmers. We encourage you to contact your members of Congress and ask for their support of the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. We'll have more farm news coming up shortly here on Hoosier Ag This Week. Let's turn our attention now to the grain markets and get market analysis now. For that, I turn things over to C.J. Miller. C.J.?
Thank you, Eric. It's time to check in now with Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. He and I spoke just before the close of trade on Friday. Well, Brian, some pre-weekend profit-taking in the grain markets for corn and soybean futures Friday. We also saw some slight gains for wheat futures to close out the week. What are some of the factors that you see that are driving these grain markets?
Thanks for having me, CJ. We've got some harvest activity going on here, primarily across the eastern Corn Belt, but a little bit in the west. And that's probably seeing some harvest pressure here as the week ends. We are expecting to see some rainfall this weekend, much needed rainfall in some areas. But while it's much needed due to the ongoing dry spell we've seen, that's going to slow down harvest too. So it's more of a choppy pattern now we're seeing developing, but a little bit of weakness here, maybe some harvest pressure. Right now, we're looking at some improving export prospects, which is also limiting the downside a bit. Soybeans, which had a very weak export sales trend this summer for new crop beans, has perked up a bit the last few weeks, and outstanding sales of beans, for example, as we start this new crop year, are only down 5% now from last year. They have been trailing last year by double digits for quite some time. So choppy is the best way I'd describe it, CJ, for corn and beans as this harvest begins to gain momentum. We realize we've got quite a bit of harvest yet to go. We're probably looking around 15% of the harvest nationwide completed on Monday, which means we've got 85% of the crop yet to go. So a long way to go. Wheat, and we've seen some diverging news. The European crop, CJ, sounds like it's going to be a bit smaller than what we thought earlier. And, of course, Europe is a big competitor with the U.S. and the world export market. So maybe a bit of short covering there. Again, more of a choppy pattern there. Not a lot of other fresh news. We did set the crop insurance prices for 2025 wheat earlier this week. We're looking at some prices that are below last year. In some cases, well below last year. For example, for the soft wheat, looking at that September 25 wheat futures, well below where it was last year. So that'll be a factor in producers' planting decisions here.
Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Settlements from Friday, December corn down 4 cents at 401 3/4. March 4.5 lower at 419 3/4. November soybeans dropping 1¢ at 1012. January 1¢ lower at 1029.5. But December wheat gaining 3 cents at 568.5. October live cattle sharply higher, climbing $2.5 at 182.47. And October lean hogs down 2 cents for Friday at 82.22. Much more of the weekend show to come, so stick around for that. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
It's like fertilizer for your brain. Every weekday morning, the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter arrives in your inbox with the latest farm news, markets, and weather information, the kind of stuff you're going to need that day. So make sure you're feeding your brain with this free, easy-to-read, and important input. Sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
The last of the very hot, very dry weather is upon us here today. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, a weekend edition. We've put together a very summer-like stretch of days here this week and even into the past several weeks. The dryness is becoming a big issue, but I've got some changes for you in that space. Let's talk about this forecast first with your Saturday. I'm looking for a mostly sunny sky in a lot of areas here today, well above normal temperatures for sure. After the few hit-and-miss areas of showers that we saw yesterday, we're back to fast drying, high evaporation. There is a monster weather system developing in the plains. By the time we get to sunrise tomorrow morning, rain will be stretching all the way from the central Rockies, central Colorado, all the way to the Illinois-Indiana line. And that's going to be moisture that moves this way eventually. So I'm looking for rain to overspread the Hoosier State for Sunday tomorrow, starting with just general garden variety showers. We pick up thunderstorms overnight Sunday night into Monday morning. We'll take a little bit of a pause. Atmosphere reloads. Another round of showers and thunderstorms overnight Monday night through Tuesday. And finally, by the time we get to early Wednesday morning, we are done with moisture. Over that 2 to 2.5 day stretch, I think we can pencil in here 1/2 to 2 inch rainfall totals fairly easily. And honestly, nearly 100% coverage. I'm saying 90% right now just because there's a chance that a few areas don't quite get to the half inch total. I think everybody gets rain, but it's whether you get a half inch or more, that is the question. So that's going to be the story. Second half of next week, we start to dry down again. Got a mix of clouds and sunshine for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Some models are suggesting the low stacks up in eastern parts of Ontario or Quebec and gives us some wraparound backside activity, especially Thursday into Friday. I'm not a big believer in that right now. I don't think it's going to have that kind of circulation. So I'm keeping us dry with clouds and sunshine. We are warm, maybe not as warm as what we've been this past week, but we're still well above normal. So fast drying, I think it allows us to get back into the fields with harvest relatively quickly. Again, given the fact we've been so dry up to this point. So I think there's a harvest window through the second half of next week and next weekend. We go into the week of the 30th. There's a little bit of instability to the north over the Great Lakes, but I'm watching more a massive weather system back in the northern Rockies moving into the northern plains and central plains. That's going to have some significant moisture with it, and I think it heads towards us likely for the first or second. So I think we've got another round of moisture coming. Is it going to be too much? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's going to complain right now, but if we start to compact these windows in between weather systems only to a couple of days, that's when we'll start to hear complaints. So I'm watching that closely as we see this new pattern try and unfold. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and a conservation program from USDA is being expanded so that Indiana's farmland owners across all 92 counties can now participate.
First of all, in Indiana, we do conservation right.
And that's Julia Wickard, Indiana's executive director of the USDA Farm Service Agency. Both USDA and the Indiana State Department of Agriculture are teaming up to offer enrollment into the Indiana Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, to producers throughout the entire state.
Back in 2010, we had a revision of our CREP agreement, and we went to 65 counties. And we always thought that wasn't enough. We needed to get to all counties in Indiana. And excited that we're able to do that effective October 1, are going to be authorized to enroll in the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program.
In exchange for removing environmentally sensitive land from production and setting up a permanent resource conserving plant species, Producers who voluntarily sign up are paid an annual rental rate, along with other federal and non-federal incentives as part of their CREP agreement.
A true economic driver when we think about wildlife habitat, when we think about water quality improvements, when we talk about leveraging state and federal and local resources together to ultimately move the needle.
How can Indiana farmers learn more about the program?
Well, they could go to the website, but even more importantly, they could visit their county office. I would encourage producers who are interested in the program to visit their county FSA office, and we will be glad to work alongside them in getting conservation on the land on their farm.
You can also learn more at our website, HoosierAgToday.com, and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. As we pivot now from land conservation to sustainable farming, Sabrina Halverson has more now on how Indiana's farmers can apply for hundreds of thousands of dollars in grant funding that's available to advance sustainable farming.
The North Central Region of Sustainable Agricultural Research and Education, or SARE program, currently has four open grant programs to fund research and education projects that advance sustainable agriculture. Associate Director with North Region SARE, Betsy Weiland, gives us tips before applying.
I think a great place to start is to go to projects.sare.org and look at what projects have been funded in the past by SARE. We look for projects that are addressing one of the three aspects of sustainability in agriculture. That's helping agriculture be more environmentally sound and also more economically viable for farming operations and their communities. Another great spot to learn more about our programs is our website, which is northcentral.sare.org. There's a ton of information on what's eligible, what's not.
North Central Region SARE has awarded more than $100 million worth of competitive grants. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Tariffs on imports of the herbicide 2,4-D have been recommended by the U.S. Commerce Department. However, some ag leaders are concerned that those tariffs would have a negative impact on America's corn and soybean farmers.
If it would be finalized, these rates could definitely impact the availability and could also impact the cost down the road.
And that's Nancy Martinez with the National Corn Growers Association. She says the duties imposed on imports of 2,4-D would make the herbicide too expensive and limit supplies altogether.
When Commerce released these preliminary duty rates, some of them were in the 3-5% range, and there was one that was 27% actually. So obviously, the higher the rate, the more the impact. And as we know, for something like 2,4-D herbicide, it's one of the tools that farmers use to control weeds. And so if you don't apply it at the right time, if there's an availability issue, that can really impact farmers' ability to be successful.
The decision comes at the request of Indiana-based Corteva AgriScience, which is the U.S. producer of 2,4-D. The company filed a petition earlier this year calling for countervailing duties on imports of 2,4-D from foreign suppliers. But Martinez says Corteva's petition creates a problem for farmers.
Farmers can't get all of the 2,4-D they need through our one domestic supplier, so they have to turn to foreign sources.
The Commerce Department is expected to announce final duty rates at some point next year. But the International Trade Commission, which also has the power to dismiss this case, will make its final determination next year as well. Well, you've been hearing a lot lately about AI or artificial intelligence, but many within the ag industry are looking at using it to improve and expand production, as well as saving farmers and ag companies millions, if not billions of dollars.
How we choose and select hybrids is definitely part of that. How can I count seeds? How can I spray? Where on this plant do I want to make a herbicide or insecticide application?
And that's Brad Fruth, Director of Innovation with Bex Hybrids, talking about just a few ways that AI can be integrated with the ag bioscience sector.
The use of artificial intelligence in agriculture, we think, is really going to be motivated by driving net farm income and productivity at the farm gate. And while tools like ChatGPT are fun to kind of play with, what's really going to impact the farm gate are these tools that are going to be embedded into the hardware and the applications that they use every single day.
Fruth says that artificial intelligence will likely be a huge part of the new innovation that's created for the ag industry. And that also means that students will be encouraged to use AI to help solve many of the problems that exist within the industry.
So the talent pool is very, very rich here in Indiana. And while we're really good at plant breeders and agronomy students, these skills are now going to be embedded, and there's going to be a whole new generation of students and kids that are going to come back into agribusiness that are going to further enhance things. So we're super excited about it. There's a lot of great resources. Kids that want to wake up, are motivated, and work hard, there are tons of opportunities for them to work all across the ag value chain.
However, Fruth warns farmers to be careful of flashing new companies that may be trying to sell the idea of AI without much overall benefit for your farm operation.
Anybody that's trying to sell you just raw AI is normally trying to sell you smoke juice or bugs in a jug, but look for those technologies to help enhance productivity.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Coming up, you'll hear about the efforts of one organization to save and preserve Indiana's historic wooden barns. That's coming up your way next, so stick around for that. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
What actually is that sort of at the top of the heap innovation that you are just on fire about?
But for me, if you say, like, what's the thing that just gets you so annoyingly fired up, people can't make you stop talking? It's actually, and you won't maybe be surprised to hear me say this, because you see in my bio, I started my career in technology, but it's artificial intelligence. I don't even think as humans in this world, we understand fully the power of what's going on right now with the speed of disruption when it comes to AI. And you think about the potential of what something like AI can do to help the way we do farming together today be drastically more productive, more efficient, more effective.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. As you heard earlier in the show, I had the chance to catch up with American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall as he was in Indiana this past week. He was touring ag facilities in northern Indiana with Indiana Farm Bureau leadership. He learned about carbon sequestration at Cardinal Ethanol in Union City before visiting a veal farm for the very first time in North Manchester. And then he finished his day meeting with County Farm Bureau President at Beck's Hybrids in Atlanta.
As leader of this national organization, largest general farm organization in the country, I just evaluated what was the most important position there was in our organization. And I determined through my experience and all my life in Farm Bureau that the most important position is County Farm Bureau President.
And that's why Duvall has dubbed this year as the year of the Farm Bureau County President for the organization.
Because he's the one that can activate his membership, whether it be on a legislative issue or whether it be on reacting to a storm going through a county and be there for their neighbor, or whether it be just supporting FFA 4-H or maybe the Booster Club. And that makes the brand of Farm Bureau valuable to everyone that lives in our rural communities.
Duvall heard from several county presidents who stopped harvest to come meet with him to discuss issues important to them, like water quantity issues in Tippecanoe County, farmland preservation, and others. One of the most important questions Duvall received, though,
what more can we do? What else can we do in our county to make it even more successful? And that's exactly the question I wanted. I want them to strive to make their County Farm Bureau the most significant organization in their county, because we have a lot of organizations in our county, whether it be from Rotary Club to Booster Club to all kinds of clubs in our county. But we want people to look at Farm Bureau as being there for the county, the people that live in that county, and we're here to serve them.
Duvall says County Farm Bureau presidents are the ones that made Farm Bureau strong and have helped amplify that one united voice for American farmers. And for that, he says thank you. Indiana has about 20,000 historic wooden barns scattered around the state, but many of them are quickly falling into disrepair. CJ Miller reports now on the efforts to preserve many of these barns as Indiana's cultural landmarks.
Let's give these old barns a chance, because they tell us a lot about our agricultural history. In a lot of cases, they tell us a lot about our family and community history, too.
And that's Kent Yeager, president of the Indiana Barn Foundation. Last weekend, the organization hosted an historic barn tour in Shelby County that featured one unique barn built near Waldron in 1910.
This barn has 12 sides, which I believe in Indiana there were fewer than 20 of these that ever existed. So we wanted to highlight it for the historic value of it. I hope they can find a way to use it, but it's got significant historic value, I think, to the state, to agriculture, and that's what a lot of this work is about with these old barns.
One effort that's been made to keep more of these barns around is that significant property tax deductions are available for barns built before 1950.
We didn't want people to have a reason to say, I'm going to let that barn go, or I'm going to tear it down so I don't have to pay property taxes on it. So at least we eliminated that reason, or people can eliminate that by being able to take advantage of not paying taxes on it.
Yeager says the ultimate goal is to restore many of these barns and repurpose them, many of which have already been turned into wedding venues, wineries, retail shops, and restaurants.
Machinery outsized a lot of these barns. And even people with livestock became very specialized, and we lost the purpose that some of these were originally built for. So the more people can do to find another purpose, that is the best thing to maintain them.
Learn more about the Indiana Barn Foundation at indianabarns.org. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Some really neat work that the Indiana Barn Foundation is doing there. Check it out. Last weekend's show ended with us talking about safety on Indiana's rural roads as we really get into harvest. Well, this past week was National Farm Safety and Health Week, and this year's theme, Don't Learn Safety by Accident. Dan Neenan of the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety notes, though, that the word accident is a bit of a misnomer.
Because accident, on most people's mind, means that there's nothing that could have been done to prevent it. So we're trying to get the words across of preventable incident.
They've been promoting safety practices all week through social media campaigns and webinars, talking about issues like equipment and rural roadway safety, health and wellness, and confined spaces like grain bins and manure pits. Speaking of confined spaces, Purdue just recently released their annual report of U.S. agricultural confined space-related injuries and fatalities, showing no fewer than 55 cases in 2023 across the U.S., including 26 non-fatal cases and 29 fatal cases. The latest recorded annual numbers for farm fatalities, 417 in 2022, is the motivation for Neenan and others in the farm safety space.
I first started doing this in the year 2000, and we were averaging 730 fatalities per year. So getting down to 417 is a good stride, but we're never going to get down to zero during my working lifetime.
More information about National Farm Safety and Health Week is online. Head to our website or mobile app for a link to their website. That does it for this edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. We love you. Stay safe out there, please. And join us again next weekend, same hat time, same hat channel. This has been Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.